This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Sunday night at the Oscars, director Steven Soderbergh will be competing against himself. He's nominated for Best Director for Aaron Brockovich and Traffic. Both are also nominated for Best Picture. This week, the drug-related issues raised by Traffic have been the focus of a Nightline series. Late last year, I spoke with Soderbergh about making Traffic. Traffic tells several interrelated stories that are each about the difficulties of controlling the drug trade. The stories revolve around drug enforcement agents trying to infiltrate a cartel, American drug dealers who are fighting among themselves, the Mexican police who are secretly involved with the drug trade, and the new American drug czar who is clueless about what he's really up against. Benicio del Toro has an Oscar nomination for his role as a Mexican cop. In this scene, he's just given inside information to American drug enforcement agents.
So now that you have what you want, let's talk about how I get what I want.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. You're not gonna have any problems there.
Yeah, but first let's talk about what precautions you're taking to protect yourself.
You worry about getting me what I want. I worry about myself.
Oh yeah, Javier. You should feel good about this.
Feel like a traitor.
I asked director Steven Soderbergh about the challenges of telling several separate but connected stories at one time.
There are two concerns. One is that the tone be consistent from story to story, even though each of these three narratives take place in very different locations. You sort of need to feel like everyone's acting in the same movie, and there's 110 speaking parts in the film, and we are in the course of showing these three stories in seven different cities. But you at least want to feel like there's a consistency to the way everybody's behaving. And then on a technical level, I tried to differentiate the three stories by adopting very different visual palettes for each of them. The Mexico section of the film looks very, very different from what I call the East Coast section of the film, which looks very different from the San Diego portion of the film.
Describe some of those differences a little bit.
Well, Mexico is very sort of, we use these heavy, heavy tobacco filters and desaturated the film and increased the contrast. So it's very, very blown out, very brown. San Diego has a very diffuse and sort of blossomy feel to it. The light is very hot but pleasing. And on the East Coast section of the story, we've gone for very, very cool tones, a lot of blues. And that way, as soon as you cut to one of the stories, before you've even seen a character, you know exactly where you are.
You said you use tobacco filters?
Yeah, those are still legal.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, is it literally a tobacco filter that you're using over the lens?
Oh, that fits on a cigarette?
Yeah.
No, it's a piece of glass that basically is sort of brownish in hue.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
this is just film lingo that I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said you wanted to make sure it looked like everybody was acting in the same movie. How do you do that?
You hope. You also try and cast well. And more than anything, you try and create an environment in which the performances can be as naturalistic as possible. And the film is done in a very documentary-like fashion. A lot of it was shot with available light and handheld cameras. We were moving very quickly. And I think that contributes to actors performing in a style that isn't inherently very theatrical. It isn't what you would typically see in a sort of large-scale movie with movie stars in it.
Is there a movie that you particularly admire that helped you think through how you wanted to make this movie with its multiple stories and multiple locations?
Well, there were several movies that I watched again and again to study their aesthetic. It could be something like The French Connection, which was a very good model for what we were trying to do. Or it might be a film like The Battle of Algiers, which was made in 1966, or Z, which was made in 1969, both of them with a very, very strong documentary-like feeling. I mean, in the case of The Battle of Algiers, they literally had to put a a title at the beginning of the film saying not one foot of this film is documentary footage, because some of it is so sort of shocking that it's hard to believe that it was staged.
Now, what are some of the things that you've done in Traffic to get a documentary look, but to still have control over what is happening?
Well, it's kind of planned anarchy in a way. I wouldn't rehearse, and I usually had two cameras running simultaneously so that if some accident happened, I'd covered myself. And again, we weren't using very many lights at all. And I wasn't telling actors where they should go. I wasn't giving them marks to hit. And I was keeping the camera a little further away from them than normal and using a longer lens so that what I would call their acting space wasn't violated. And all of that contributes, I think, to a feeling that is much less traditional in again, a movie with this many name actors in it.
At the beginning of the movie, Michael Douglas's character is named the new drug czar, and there are scenes in the movie in which he's meeting with people from Congress and other experts, each of whom is pitching their point of view about what he needs to do to control the drug trade. In one of those scenes, there's several real congressmen in it.
Right.
Orrin Hatch is one of the people in that scene. Why did you go for some real people in that scene as opposed to just actors?
Well, again, it's all out of a desire to create a sense of verisimilitude and make you think that it's happening in front of you. And we had a sequence which, you know, we referred to as the Georgetown cocktail party. And so we went to Georgetown, and there was some scripted material we had, but we invited a fairly good number of senators and congressmen to join us. And didn't discriminate about who we invited. We just did a blanket mailing, really. And when they showed up, I basically brought them over to Michael Douglas and said, he's the new drug czar. I want you to discuss your point of view on the drug war, what's happening in your area, and how you think he should navigate Washington. And I had three cameras running in this case, and it was all improvised and then edited down to what I hoped was a manageable length. But I don't think there's any faking that. I mean, you see Orrin Hatch telling Michael Douglas, the new drug czar, what he thinks he ought to be doing, and there's a feeling to that that I don't think you can cheat.
Tell me this, though. You know, you're watching that scene and you're thinking, that's the real Orrin Hatch saying what he would say to the real drug czar, but that's Michael Douglas playing the drug czar. And you know, do you think the audience can ever quite forget that it's Michael Douglas?
No, probably
not.
I
guess what I'm asking is it difficult to have someone who's, you know, a real movie star in a sequence that's meant to have a documentary, realistic feel to it because he is what he is, a movie star?
I think you can in this instance, or at least I hope you can, for a couple of reasons. One, Michael is a terrific actor and also is someone who I think is perfect for portraying a man like this, who is put into this situation. And then again, the way in which the film is made, the style of it, I think helps blend all of it so that Michael and, for instance, Orrin Hatch do seem to be occupying the same world. And so it didn't, I thought it blended pretty well. And there are a couple of other instances in the film where we're using real people portraying themselves. For instance, when Michael is given the tour of the border in San Ysidro between the U.S. and Mexico, and when he's allowed into the El Paso Intelligence Center in El Paso, the people giving him the tour there and talking to him and answering his questions are the real people.
Now, the scenes in Mexico are subtitled. In
right.
earlier Hollywood films, they would have been in English but with a Mexican accent. Tell me how you thought through the idea of actually doing it in Spanish with subtitles, and if you fear that means that the movie's going to play art houses instead of, shopping mall cineplexes.
Well, there were two reasons for having the Mexican sequences be in Spanish. The first is that I didn't think you could get anybody to take you seriously if you had Mexican characters speaking to other Mexican characters with accented English. And since we were trying to make a film that purported to be up to the minute and sort of reality based, I just never considered that you would do anything but allow them to speak in Spanish. And the other important aspect of that is it's very crucial that you understand that the way Mexicans speak to Mexicans is different than the way Mexicans speak to Americans. And the Benicio del Toro character, who plays a Tijuana state policeman, has a lot of interaction with American characters in the film. And the way that he relates to them is very, very complicated, and you need to understand that, you know, the impenetrability of another culture, moving in both directions in this case. And so I just felt that was the way to go, and wasn't really concerned that that it would be a problem for people. And the fact that we have the cast that we have, I wasn't really concerned that we would be sort of considered an art house movie.
Steven Soderbergh recorded in December. He has 2 Oscar nominations for Best Director for Traffic and Erin Brockovich. Each film was also nominated for Best Picture. This is Fresh Air.